You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Boston.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
and everything else, they just were too realistic.
And they're
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody manufactured
this. The hand was freaking
out. Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot is a movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
What you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his thigh's knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, part of it gon' help. I'm out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Top draw. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Lee, I've put you on mute. You're on. I know you're on there, so just stand by. Okay, buddy? You're over there. It's going great. Going great, Tom.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. You know, we've been out on the road now for pretty soon. It'll be almost a month here. And we've experienced so much, you guys. Bill, you know it because I talk to you 2-3 times a day.
Yeah.
the wonderful friends, family, that and new friends, old friends that we've met on the way. It's been incredible. I knew I wasn't going to be on the show because we've taken on a new situation, but I felt that it was pertinent that I come on the day before Thanksgiving. There is so much for us all to give thanks for, ladies and gentlemen, around the globe here in the United States. At least myself, Marco, Bill, our team, we've got so much to be thankful for. You have no clue. It just eats at your heart, ladies and gentlemen, when you see what goes on out there and you see how the people embrace us. You see how the people adorn us in so many beautiful ways and gifts. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about hospitality, food, drink, a bed. It's just incredible how they'll give of themselves and what they have to get to the bottom line of this quest. You know, and before I go on anymore, I want to talk about, and prayers go out to, of course, our friend Steve Dismore getting back up there, AK Riley. You all heard me talk about him out there in the Apache reservation. And, of course, we got our good buddy Alex Hearn's mom. And Jan Allen, you know, is recovering from that heart attack. I wish we had you out there with us, Jan. We had a wonderful time. The next time, though, you know, I know that you'll be better, and the holiday season's about us. But, you know, Bigfoot doesn't know anything about a holiday.
Tom, do you remember Linda Godfrey?
I do.
Ray wrote, her father-in-law the other day had a really major, serious accident, and I sent a little thank you out to her, and I thought we might send a little well-wish and prayer out to her father-in-law for a speedy recovery.
Well, we'll do that. We'll do it right now, as a matter of fact. Linda Godfrey, what a precious, precious gal you are. I love your books. I've given them all the blurbs when they came out to us out there on Bay Road. When I was out there, I had the newspaper people there. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we've got in excess of 40 news media clips. Marco Bill will tell you how to get to them. And you know, when I go to them and I see them, it was just like yesterday, whether we were in Michigan, whether we were in Minnesota, whether we were in Montana, upstate New York, Florida, Alabama, Texas, Kentucky, Washington. You have no clue how wonderful it makes me feel to see that throughout the years we've made such beautiful friends and family that it continues on and it manifests into a bigger, bigger and better relationship with all of our people. We're going to get into that a little later on, too. But I just wanted to make sure, and that was the reason why I came on tonight, ladies and gentlemen. There's Thanksgiving is out there tomorrow. A lot of people will be with their friends and family. And by the way, my gentle giant, Stephen Cothran, I got your messages, but I'm not getting email as often as I did being on the road. Please forgive me. When I get some time, I'll be more than happy to be on your show. You've always been there for us, and whatever we can do to help or enhance you with your show, we're there also. Bill Green, be patient out there in Connecticut. We've got an awful lot of stuff coming out. Yes, Bigfoot Lives 2. Yes, Bigfoot 3D, the movie. Yes, Bigfoot Lives 1's coming out in 4 different languages, and so on and so forth. So the key to it is just be patient. We have, and we've just gone, and everything's starting to come to full circle, ladies and gentlemen, and it's all happening, including our reality show, which beginning of next year, or actually towards the end of January there, you're going to be seeing me and the guys on TV, and who knows, we may be in your fair city next doing some filming, and you'll be in one of the episodes. I wish that's going to happen. We already know about 17 of them, and we're looking for more and more as we go. But, you know, tomorrow you all have a bunch of thanks to give, just like we have. And a wonderful, wonderful view. By the way, I want to tell you guys something. I finally got to meet Mitch Waite up there in Arizona. What a great guy. Him and his son. This guy is a true Bigfoot researcher. It's a do-or-die situation with him. You know, his money's a little funny right now, but guess what? He happened to do something that was incredible. He made a lot of his intricacies of his research tools himself. So that was a lot cheaper than going out and buying stuff that's on the shelf that costs thousands and thousands of dollars. I don't know if he put the his rig that he has with this telescopic pole going out with the surveillance equipment on it that he can see at night and at the same time be under the cover of his shelter there. But if we don't have it, please send it over for us so we can show everybody. Mitch, I was very proud of you with that. It was just a wonderful thing. I know it was crude, as you say, but I'll tell you what. There's people out there would love to have that crude outfit that you've got. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Let's get out there to the Four Corners with J.C. Johnson. He's got the rabbi in which that this guy happened to inhabit the same cities that when I first...
Rabbi didn't make it, Tom. He's got laryngitis, and he couldn't make it tonight.
Well, do we have J.C.? Do we have J.C.?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's get out there to Four Corners, Farmington. J.C., you out there, son?
Alive and well. How are you?
I'm doing well, as a matter of fact. I'm just, we're on the road, as you know, and I'm just curious as hell because, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what's been said about it on the air. I've been gone for a while. I'm going to be continually be gone, but when I knew it was Thanksgiving tomorrow, I wanted to come on at least say hi to everybody. But when we were out there with J.C. going to Ape Island and hearing the stories that all the stuff that was going on out there, we happened to meet great family, and Brenda and her family, her husband and her kids, and some strange going-ons were happening, okay? And we happened to see the film, and the rabbi is kind of a quasi-pro in deciphering and debunking on this film, because he had all of the bells and the whistles and the tools to do so. So where are you guys at on that?
I talked with him today in person and on the phone, and he wanted to make mention of the greenhouse area in between those two outbuildings. He picked up another figure moving around back and forth, kind of like on watch. And behind that actual light that we were looking at, there was actually another light out in the field, as if there were two portals and or crafts in this field.
I'm just curious to tell, because, ladies and gentlemen... Do you have your speaker on there, J.C.? Because I think you're getting...
No, it's not him. It's Chuck just dialed in. He's muted now.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. So you say there's another figure out there.
Well, there's another figure in between the two buildings near the greenhouse. There's a greenhouse there of some sorts. And then further back in the field, there's actually another light and another set of activity going on out there also. So you've got this front and or craft or portal. Behind this front and or craft or portal is another one further back in the field. So we've got two situations going on at the same time.
Wow. Why don't you cap on the story about the latter part of the fields that they were harvesting, where supposedly this craft had landed, the fruit grew abnormally small and abnormally large in the other field. Why don't you put your two cents on that? Tell me what you think.
What we find in the one field is stunted vegetables, stunted watermelons, stunted cantaloupes, everything else did not come up as expected. The watermelons were like junior melons, and the other fields, the melons were fine. Everything came up just fine this year. This particular field, everything was stunted and or just actually gross produce, I guess I would say it that way. They didn't come out right. Didn't come out. The only thing that came out good was a squash, I guess. And they don't need much water, and I guess they're not affected by this type of apparition appearing above them.
Yeah, well, I was totally amazed, okay? What do I want to say? I'm lost for the word right now, but it just blew me away to see what was going on out there, and my gosh, she caught it on film, on that tape. And ladies and gentlemen, you got to see the area, okay? You just have to see it. This is up there in Four Corners, okay? I mean, your nearest neighbor is, I don't know, a quarter of a mile down the road. They got some big spreads out there. I don't know if anybody knows anything about a reservation, but on a reservation, you can have all the land you want, live on it as long as you want, but you can't sell it, okay? And it's yours, I guess, for a 99-year lease. But it's just amazing, and there's a lot of people down there, the elders and stuff that live along the river, they don't want to talk. And if they do, it's very closed mouth and closed knit. Have you gotten any more information out there?
We've got some sporadic reports. Actually, Jonathan Lee got some reports of some Sasquatch down by the river that were actually people were waving and yelling at them, and they were waving back at the people.
Recently?
Not far from the area where you were, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm talking probably last week. Last week, so.
Is a cold front coming in there?
You have, this is a pretty good-sized cold front coming in tonight.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah, I'm gonna. I've told everybody, JC, in the last week or so, I told everybody this is going to be the coldest winter ever, probably on record for the last 50 years. And somebody had written me or called me and says, "Tom, you're right. The Farmer's Almanac states the same thing for this year." But remember, about 3-4 months ago, JC, I was telling everybody this erratic weather, how weird it's been, how crazy it's been.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, you know, just last weekend we were over there in Alabama, and I'll be a son of a gun if the chiggers still weren't, it was still out, the mosquitoes were still out, the snakes were still out, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, has anybody told anybody out here that it's fall? Apparently not. Okay. So it just stands to reason what's going on with this weather situation, and I'll tell you, it's a little scary because something's coming down the pike. What, I don't know, but something is coming down the pike. Listen, are we going to get a chance to see what the rabbi comes up with and maybe post it and let the world know about it, let our listeners know?
Hey, once we get everything digitized, and he's working on that now, I'll get a pretty good clip up and some zoom-ins and so forth of the area. Some zoom-ins of the activity. You know, the things you saw unzoomed, we'll get them zoomed up so you can look at them.
Wow. Did you get a chance?
Very interesting.
When they were zoomed in?
No, I have not had the opportunity to look at it. He's still working on it as we speak, so.
Wow, yeah. Is he still working at Brenda's house?
What's that?
Is he still working at it at Brenda's house?
He was able to get something on, DVD to work on. So,
good.
Permission for that.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Listen, JC, it's always a pleasure and a delight. No matter where we go, everybody's been asking about you. When are we going to get to see JC? You know, he's a remarkable man. He tells a great story, and we'd love to put that voice with a face. So in the new areas that we haven't been, and I told him, I says, we may just have him next year with us for a little while. So stay tuned. We got a lot more show left. Happy holidays. Many, many thanks for you, your troops, your team, and for all those beautiful people on the reservation.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, and God bless you.
Be well, my brother. Till the next time.
Good night, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's JC. You know, he's been standing in for me, and he's going to be from now on until the beginning of the year. We're on a special program that we're working with our government right now. But I'll tell you, it's been a slice of life this last 3-4 weeks. You have no clue. And a lot of it is thankful to Gigi Jatem. Without her, a lot of this couldn't be possible, and many other people, but she's been the main force behind myself and my company. Little kudos out to you, dear. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I want to get back down there to Alabama. We were just there, met some great people, of course, our host, Chuck Creel. You go on our website, searching for Bigfoot or BigfootLiveRadioShow.com. You'll see the last updates of us going out into the brush, never knowing, as many times as I've been out there to Enterprise and Chancellor, never knowing that in those entire cities, ladies and gentlemen, were built on swamplands. Incredible. Just incredible. Let's get out there and talk to Dee. Dee, you're out there, hon?
Yeah, Chuck's
Hello.
On here, too.
Hey, Chuck, you out there?
That's the feedback we're hearing.
Chuck, that you? Tell him what button to push, Marco.
He's no button to push. He's on. You
well,
can
anyhow,
hear the feedback from the radio.
Yeah.
Hey.
How you doing?
Pretty good. You doing all right?
Oh, yeah, honey. It's an everyday occurrence. How's Mike and Charlotte?
They're good.
They're okay?
Yes, sir.
And Preston? How's Preston?
He's on the other end listening.
Is he? Well, Preston, good evening to you, and thanks for joining us. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you something. This is what does my heart well. It makes me proud to see that now our younger generation, okay, and I'm not talking about 8-10-year-olds. I'm talking people from 18 to 30 years old now are getting really enthralled in what we're doing. They want to be a part of what we're doing. You know, Dee, we were out there. We came out. We researched the areas, as you know, two nights in a row. We came out and took photos. You'll be able to see Dee. You'll be able to see her mom, Charlotte. You'll be able to see her dad. You'll be able to see Preston. You'll be able to see Kelly. You'll be able to see Chuck and Greg and their families. They're all there, ladies and gentlemen. You want to put a face to it? Well, you'll see it there. But they're live right now with us, okay? And they're going to tell the stories. We saw the areas where this thing crossed the road. We saw where it went over into the barn. We saw the land in which they traverse. We saw the food that they eat. We saw the areas in which they sleep. And I'm going to tell you something. These briars were incredible. You get underneath there, you can't tell anybody is there. Remember that day when we went out to the swamp?
Yeah.
Pretty incredible stuff, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Now, you know what I'd like for you to do, Dee, if you would be so kind? I want you to tell my audience right now about when you started to go out and research and talk to the mayor and high principalities, people of distinction in the neighborhood, in the city, and ask them about if they had any experiences. Nobody wanted to get on film, but they did tell you the stories, didn't they?
Yeah, I had plenty of stories that was told to me, and they just, you know, shunned away and didn't want to talk about it because it was upsetting to them, some of them, the way they seen, and just different people, you know, had a different story telling about this thing, and it was like the one woman told about, they had up at the edge of the swamp, they put cows in a field and had 5 strands of barbed wire. Every night, the barbed wire would get tore down every night, and the feed of the cows was gone, and the cows were starving, and they had to move the cows because of it. And it was right there on the swamp side. Like I told you, we live on a hill, and nothing for miles and miles around us is swamp land.
Yes, yes. But now, why did they have to move them? Tell them the reason why.
Because it was some big creature tearing down the fence, all 5 strands of barbed wire. And if anybody knows how barbed wire is, that stuff's tough.
Definitely so. Definitely so. You know, why don't you tell? Is Chuck? Are you on now?
Yes, sir.
Hey, good to hear you. Thanks, buddy, for taking the time. Why don't
good
you tell everyone?
Man.
Yeah, thank you, and again, happy Thanksgiving to you and your wonderful family. Tell
you
everybody,
too,
if you would, about what you and Dee went out for 4 hours today down by the river. What were you looking for and what you were told?
6 hours.
Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, 6 hours.
Well, it was, we went down to, and by the way, we got a lot of good hits today, and we got, and you know, I can't understand it, but there's a lot more people opening up to this stuff. You know,
kind of amazing, isn't it?
I know. It kind of blows my mind, you know. And Dee will tell you, we've got a lot more hits. We've got a lot more property to go on. We've got a lot more people that are just scared, you know, to come forward with their stories and things like that. And they have come forward, and Dee will tell you, they're ready to tell their story, you know. So, and that's what I've been, that's the thing I have been, I haven't had down there, you know? You know, people, you know, times, dates, all that stuff. So, I don't know. Do you tell him about it?
I've had, you know, several people I'll take and start talking to them at first. They would just, you know, look at me like I'm crazy when I tell them, hey, I seen something, and I'm going for more to see what I seen. And, you know, at first they just look at me like I'm crazy. And then when I tell them about, the, you know, what we've been doing the past week or two, they start opening up, telling me about, well, I seen, like one man was saying, he was walking through the woods one night back to a trail to his buddy's house. They had about 100 yards or so. This big thing run out in front of him and jumped the fence and disappeared. He got scared and ran back to his house and got his gun and went back across. And then he started telling about the noises that they were sitting on the porch out there and hearing everything. And that's where we was today, walking and looking, just right up the road from there.
You know,
well,
I got to tell you this.
I swear to God, I don't. I'm not prejudiced. I mean, this is no lie. I swear, Tom, I'm not prejudiced, but. You know how people in the South are. She said it looked like a big N person, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Follow what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not, you know, being prejudiced or nothing like that. It said it looked like a big black person.
That's right.
You know? So, you know, covered in hair. So, we are just steady checking it out, Tom, and trying to figure out what in the hell's going on down here, bud. But it's like, I know when you come down, Jesus criminy, you know? I mean, you looked, and then you told me we're in a perfect area, and then my dad called from West Virginia, and he had been looking on Google Earth, and he said, you are in a perfect area. And I guess it's called the Pea River and the Chalkpatchee River and all that is right here. But the problem I'm having is, how do you know where they're going to be and when they're going to be there?
Well, here's the thing, okay? Everybody's starting to let loose now. Think about Charlotte and Dee. They saw us on TV 3 years ago. Now they finally came forth, they remembered, and they shared their experience with us. Now what's happening, and I got that from you, I think, today also, about the people calling you about the show and where they can hear about what's going on. It's
yeah.
Getting out there now, folks. It's getting out in a huge manner. And, you know, I take pride, me and my guys and people like you, to let the world know what the hell's been going on. Because how else are they going to get informed? Going on the blogs? Going on the internet for stories that happened 45 years ago, that ain't going to make it, man. That ain't going to make it. What's going to make it is what's happening today, the headlines of today and the headlines of tomorrow. And that's what you people are out there doing right now. That's what we're doing out there right now. I take my hat off to you, Dee. Keep up the good work. I hope that those caves down that river, you and Chuck find, because I have a feeling when you do, you're
going to... Mike's going to go with us, Tom.
What?
Mike's going to go with us. Remember Mike?
Mike Sims?
Yep.
Well, good for you.
He's
wow.
Go with, but I did want to ask you this one question right here. You're crazy. You're a nut. You are a sure enough nut person if you've seen this thing, you know? But there's too many credible people in the world that's seen this thing, you know, especially around here. How in the world do we get people to come forward and say, yeah, I've seen this here, you know? I mean, the only way I met Dee was you called me. You remember that?
I do. And let me answer your question. You keep on doing what you're doing now. Remember the day I arrived? You remember what it said in the newspaper? Finally, there's somebody coming back to do the investigation here. They knew I was coming back in town. They got the word. And you know what? You and Dee are going to be the people there. Greg Worthington is going to be the people there that they're going to be contacting now, okay? Because for our arms of SFBI, All right?
Yeah.
And when it gets hot, and you're on the trail, hey, man, we're right there. Listen.
Well, what terrifies me about Tom is we know it's there. I mean, we know it's there. I mean, an idiot wouldn't know that, you know? So.
Oh, by the way, you're right about idiots not knowing it's there. They'd know it's there. After you got a chance to see the anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax, what do you got to say to the world out there?
Well, to be honest with you, I watched it at one time. You know, Jabba Bob had it down here on the film down here one time, and I watched it, but there was so much stuff going on at my house at that time that I didn't really pay no attention to it. But I watched it this time, and I said, what the hell? You know, I watched the whole, my own personal opinion, now that you can take this how you want it, you know, my own personal opinion was, these guys in Georgia are stupid, you know? I'm sorry, because your team was there and they recorded everything, you know? Videotaped everything, recorded everything, and it's all right there on film. And I don't understand why this is not out there for the world to see, you know? Because it goes right there, and it proves that they're a bunch of, I can't say the F word, can I?
No, you can't. But you know what? Enough said, and I think the world understands it. And the reason being is because it's going to be out in two other movies coming out real soon, and I've signed contracts, so it's been a gag order, so I've had to stay low. But the world...
Well, I understand all that, Tom. You know, I understand all that about, you know, sign contracts and all that stuff, but I cannot believe somebody can't watch this and go, what kind of freaking idiots is out there?
Huh?
You know? That's just my own personal opinion, because them boys up there, you know, I work in a fire department, okay? You know, you see what I'm saying?
I do.
And these guys are out there to protect the public, and they're out there and they do this shit?
And that's whole point. That's the whole point, okay? I don't mean to interrupt. That's the reason why the legitimacy of us really doing what we thought was real, okay? The world will get to see it, and they'll see it like we saw it, and let them determine what should be and what shouldn't be. Listen, God bless you. Dee, thank you so much. Happy holidays to you and your family, same as you. Just mute yourself out. We got a plenty more show coming up, okay?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, sir.
Happy thanks to you too, darling. Bye-bye, you guys. Ladies and gentlemen, great, great, wonderful people. Chuck, like my own kid, and I'll tell you what, Dee, she's just a slice of heaven, just one hell of a person, and I'm glad to have her on our team. Believe me, I really am. You know, we're running a little late, ladies and gentlemen, but I gotta get out there to Texas right now, okay? But before we do that, let's go to a commercial real quick, okay, Marco?
Okay, here we go.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams. Break in day, we'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is like
everything else. They just were too realistic.
And they're
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody manufactured
it. The hand was freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives. Right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Right back at you there, Tommy.
Thank you, Marco. You know, like I was saying, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go back out there to Texas right now. Some incredible stuff We went out there to Frost, saw some old friends, some new friends, and one friend that he's part of my family. I got to tell you, it's Lee Joyner, and he brought his son Laren along, and he was out there with us those couple of nights. And God bless him, he shimmied up those trees and put those trail trip cameras and baited the areas with the sardines and the peanut butter. But he was there, ladies and gentlemen. He was out there till 5 o'clock in the morning. The son and Lee came back the following day after they did the analyzation, what we found. But I want you to hear it from his voice. Lee, you out there?
Yeah, hey, Tom, how you doing?
Hey, buddy, thanks so much. And is Laren with you?
Yeah, he's here.
Laren, can you get on at the same time?
No, I'll have to give him the phone after.
Let me set the stage first for him, okay, with you. We asked you to come on out with us, you came out and you brought your son, and we made you a team leader of one of the areas. Remember that?
Yeah.
We had 6 teams total, correct?
Yep.
Okay. Why don't you tell everybody out there what you experienced when you were out with us?
Well, we was covering part of around the edge of the lake there, and we were walking down by the edge and going through the woods, in and out of the woods, and seeing if we could see anything. And we come out of the woods, and right when we came out, something growled at us, something I never heard before in my life. It was a growl that you could feel it on your body. And if we would have kept walking, we'd have probably walked right into that creature that was down there. For a minute there, I seen something moving real fast down by the edge of the lake. And when we turned around and started walking back towards that way, that's where I seen it move at. And whatever it was moving pretty fast.
Now, the thing about it is that nobody understands, Lee, is that that reserve, that park was closed for the season. Now, I got special permission, as you know, for us to go in there. Remember that?
Yep.
And it took a little time because that night before, they weren't going to give me permission until the following morning at 8:15. But we got it. That's all that counted. Now, ladies and gentlemen, his son, Laren, did the majority of the work, I might say, put up 4 or 5 cameras. I don't remember. We're going to get him on. He's going to tell a story. If you can give the phone over, pass it over to your son, I'd appreciate it real quick.
Okay. Here he is right here.
All right.
Hello?
Laren, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm well, son. Thanks for joining us tonight. How many bait stations cameras did we have? 4 or 5? I don't remember.
I think we had 6.
Oh, 6. Okay, good. All right. Now, did you bait them all and put all those cameras up, you and a couple of the other guys?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sure did.
I want you in your own voice, I want you to tell everybody out there around the globe. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to searchingforbigfoot.com and see where we're talking about, Frost, Texas. You can go to BigfootLiveRadioShow.com and look under Frost, Texas. And you'll see Laren and Lee and people we're talking about, and Snake Man, he was there with us too. And then you'll see where they baited these areas. What happened when we came upon the last bait station? Because the first 5, then, we got nothing. But we sent the guy who was the Doubting Thomas, the guy that didn't believe in Bigfoot. When we sent him down there, what happened, Laren?
He just basically said, hey, come guys, look at this. And
Wait, no, you got to set the stage now. Did he not scream? He screamed, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, all right, so tell it like it is. Now, go ahead.
He screamed to everybody, telling them to rush over here, come here, look at this. And everybody rushed over there, and there was a sardine can, and the peanut butter was all on the ground, and it was shocking. It was shocking. I didn't know what to think.
Yeah. Now, when I got down there, I was the one that turned the peanut butter jar over. With the naked eye, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me very closely. With the naked eye, you could see where this thing put two fingers, and I'm talking pretty down deep in there. You could still see the dermal ridges in the peanut butter where he, like, tasted it, and he wiped his two fingers on the tree, which is also on our websites. Now, besides that, you can see where he touched with two other fingers and just barely touched him, squeezed that can to bits, and you can see it in there. The thing he didn't know, though, that we caught that image on the trail trip camera. And thank God we had David Clare with us, and he'll be on the show here pretty soon. And he did the analyzation of it, and you got to go there and see what it's like. Was that not thrilling that night, Laren?
Huh?
How thrilling was it, what you experienced, what we all experienced?
Oh, it was amazing. I couldn't, words can explain what I felt like when I saw that sardine can crushed like that, and just to see the dermal ridges and the peanut butter, it was awesome. Night to remember.
You know, I got it, and thank you for your honesty, by the way, because when I saw your face, when I looked around with all those people there, and it was all in jubilation, everybody was just incredibly amazed, okay, to see what happened. And thank God, one more time, that we had David Clare there, which we're going to have him on pretty soon here, right after this next interview. But pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Now, the next day, we had the image, and of course it was on the website, and David saw it, you saw it, you guys came back from Grand Prairie to see what was going on, especially knowing that David was doing the analyzation and reconstruction of that the two fingers there on the trail trip camera.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty, let me ask you this. If we ever get back out there again, would you come join us again?
Oh, in a heartbeat, in a heartbeat.
Thank
no
you
hesitation.
So much. Let me. Thanks for your honesty, Laren. It was an honor meeting you. I hope to see you real soon again. Let me pass the phone back to your dad. Let me say goodbye to him real quick.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Here he is.
Okay.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Lee. Let me ask you. Your son just told us how he felt. What was your first sensation that went through your head when you saw what we all saw there for the first time with that jar of peanut butter?
Well, I couldn't believe it, you know. You could see the dermal ridges in the peanut butter perfect. How it stuck its fingers in the peanut butter, then wiped them on the tree, and the way it crushed that sardine can. No man could have crushed that the way that thing was crushed like that. I mean, that must have took some amazing force to do that. And
exactly, yeah. Everybody says the same story. You know, it's just amazing. But the beautiful thing that blew me away, okay, was the thing that the guy who was a disbeliever became a believer real quick, didn't he?
Yeah, real quick. He couldn't believe that what had happened, you know. And he was the one that, you know, didn't believe, and he's the one that became a believer after he seen that.
Mhm. Mhm. Well, listen, we got two more exciting stories left here, and I want to fit them all in. God bless you. Say hello to your lovely Vi and the girls. And just mute yourself out, and we got more show, and have a great Turkey Day, son.
You too, Tom. God bless you.
He will.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lee Joyner, great guy. His son, Laren, what a slice of heaven. Boy, he can come with us anytime he wants. Matter of fact, when he comes out of school during the summer, if he wants to come traveling with us, I'd love to have him with us, because I'll tell you what, the kid is just one. He's a man, okay? He's not a kid. Forgive me for that. He's a man. This kid was out in that brush, and he did just like anybody else would do. That was a real, true researcher. Great people, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I never got a chance to meet these next guests.
Tom, they didn't make it tonight. David Clare is going to be next, and Mitch Waite will be last. I just did a
show. Oh, and I was anticipating and geared up to hear from
you. I know. They didn't come in. Something happened. Otherwise, they would have. I know they would have.
Okay, well,
David
listen.
David Clara is on right now.
Good. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard me talk about David Clara. The utmost respect goes out to this man. He was there with us in the field with those 24 people out there, the residents of Frost. You out there, David?
Yes, Sam. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, son. Loud and clear. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Good. Hey, by the way, I don't know how many times I've thanked you for the work you've done, and you were out there, man. When you saw that for the first time as we did, what went through your head?
I was very impressed. I was thrilled to see. I was very much anticipating what we could pick up on the camera. Consequently, we did pour plaster and got a very good impression from the peanut butter. You can see the detail on the dermal ridges along the edges. And there's a lot of things that we can pick up from analyzing the impression in the peanut butter.
Now, tell my audience around the globe, David, because you told it to me, and I was in awe. I was awestruck and stricken because of what you had said. You had looked to see the dermal ridges that were in the casting, and you tried to equate it with other things out there, and you couldn't find nothing, could you?
Well, actually, what I was seeing was that the most distinct impressions were on the edges, where he initially dipped his finger in the peanut butter before he actually pushed it down and lifted out the peanut butter. That made some very distinct impressions, and actually it correlates pretty closely to the patterns on a human finger. On the sides of the finger, the dermal ridges run nearly vertical, and then they go at a slant as they move up towards the front of the finger, and that that exact impression was on there, only much larger than a human, and very rough, as if it was a very calloused skin on that finger.
Wow. Well, this is, ladies and gentlemen, this is new to me, too, because this is the first time I'm hearing this. I got to tell you, that night was kind of amazing for everyone there. The town was jubilant as hell. As you know, the next day, everybody was going rampant, and I guess they even went out that following night. I don't know. Has anybody called you to tell you what they found?
Are you asking me? Yeah. Yes, actually, I did have a call from Lisa Grubin, and she said that afterwards they had actually found scat samples the following day, or when they went to collect the peanut butter jars.
Well, you know what? I'm going to let you say it. I'm not going to say it. So why don't you tell everybody, my audience out there, what she found and how she found it.
As I understand it, she and her husband went out to collect the peanut butter jars, just as a responsible thing to do, that were still left out there. And they actually found that at another station other than where it was photographed, they went back in the brush looking for this peanut butter jar. It had been moved, and they actually found it oriented standing up on the ground, and there was actually scat partially in the jar and off to the side of the jar, as if it was making a statement about its dislike for the peanut butter.
Well, I don't know if it's a dislike of not liking the peanut butter, but I would think it would be marking its territory in anything that I've ever seen. I've never heard of this being done before, by the way. I've heard of these creatures marking their territory with their scat, or with the bones of the animals that they've eaten, and they'd stack them up very neatly, in a row or up on top of each other, especially in caves. And regular animals couldn't do that with their teeth because of they're too awkward. So it has to be something that
it could be some sort of territorial marking. quite possible. They didn't seem to like the peanut butter too much, though. They didn't eat a lot of it. They would taste it, take a little bit, but apparently they didn't really have a liking for it.
Yeah. Well, in this particular case, there's been other cases around the country where they love peanut butter. But you know, it's an individual's taste. It's just like with these creatures. They have the same kind of taste buds as we do, I'm sure. You know? But I got to tell you this, and I was so proud of your professionalism. I was so proud of your intentness to get something done and how you followed through. It was just totally amazing. Totally amazing. And incidentally, that thing I had talked to you about before, I don't want to talk about it on the air, they're going to use some of those things that you and I had discussed in January. So I want to let you know that, okay?
Okay, thank you. And I do really want to thank you for giving the opportunity. It was really great to see you and the crew there.
But, you know, I got to tell you this. Here's the deal, okay? You have been out now 2 times with me, right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. You've done exceptional work both times. Your caliber of professionalism is beyond approach. The papers that you've done on this stuff is just incredible. And there's a lot more coming down the line for you. I see that in the future. I really do, David. So you just stay close. Keep honing in on what you know how to do best, because we're coming back out to Texas, and we're coming out real soon. I want to thank you. I want to thank Lee Joyner, my newfound friend, Laren, the Snake Man. He was out there. He was protecting that other team out there, and they had to come out. All that crap that they had to go through and going through the river bottoms and everything. We got 2 more stories coming out. Mute yourself out. Have a great Thanksgiving. I'll be in touch with you, son.
Okay, thank you so much.
He will. Ladies and gentlemen, David Clare, the guy's incredible. You've got to see him in action. Go up on the sites, searchingforbigfoot.com. Go to bigfootliveradioshow.com. Go to Frost, Texas. See how he's done that analyzation. He did it bit by bit, piece by piece, and you got the final piece up there. Incredible. You know, I'm not going to delay anymore. I've got a newfound friend out there in Arizona. My hat goes out to him. This is one hell of a guy. I told you he built stuff from nothing. He calls it crude. I call it incredible. Not crude, but incredible. And I hope that real soon he puts that command center thing on our website so you people out there can see what I'm talking about. But
it is up on the website, Tom.
Well, where do I find it? Tell me where I can go.
You go up on, all you got to do is go up on there's a link on our webpage, www.bigfootlive.com.
Yeah.
And I've got a webpage just for Mitch. It has all of his different things in it, including that.
Okay, well, I'm looking at it right now. I don't want to take from the other time, but I still can't see. I'm stupid, remember?
No, don't worry. I'll make it real plain. I'll put Mitch's website or Mitch's website on it or whatever, and it'll
Unless there's another here. I don't know, Marco. You know,
Don't worry. It's okay. I'll fix it after we're done here.
Yeah, okay. That's great. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you got to see what he did. And Mitch, I don't know what it looks like on the inside or anything else. On our pictures here, but I'd love for you to take pictures on the inside and explain what they see and the monitors that you set up, and of course the recording devices that you got for the sounds, and of course too that telescopic thing you got coming from the roof of that trailer. It's just incredible, ladies and gentlemen.
He's got a whole series of pictures on his command center, outside, inside, everything.
Is it really? You're gonna have to direct me because I'm a moron. I don't know how to get to it.
No, I'll make it real clear after the show. I'll put a link that goes right to it.
Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going out there to Arizona. You out there, Mitch?
Yes, greetings. I am here.
Hey, greetings to you too, but good buddy. I got to tell you, I've been so in awe of you, of what you've built and how you put it together and everything, and your tenacity and your willpower to go on and not be distressed and you just put that left foot in front of your right and keep on heel and toeing it down that road. You're out there to tell the truth and to find out what it's all about. Boy, you're my kind of guy. Tell me what's gone on since we've been there.
Well, right now it's been dumping snow up there for the second time in the year. We're getting heavy snows on the rim, so we're kind of locked out of the place for at least a week. So I've been working on the command center. I just installed or have purchased four motion sensing alarms that will allow me to detect when something's about 400 feet out from the command center.
Wow. That's wonderful. That's something new completely. I'd love to see that. You know, back in my day, you know what we did? We strung a bunch of cans and bottles together on the line about 100 yards out from our camp. So if we knew that anything that stepped over to something, we'd hear the clang-clanging of the cans going on. So if there's a new innovative way of doing this, let me know, and we'll get involved in this ourselves.
Well, actually, what I'm using is just some wireless doorbell alarms that you put up in front of your house. And when you can get them at Harbor Freight for about $20 a piece. And it has a sensor on it, an IR sensor. The wire is wireless and sends a command or a signal to the receiver, which you can put anywhere in the house, and it gives you advance notice that somebody's coming to your door. So I've applied that to my command center. So it's got a looking distance of about 400 yards, so I should be able to pick up almost anything coming my direction.
That's incredible. That's incredible. You know, you're what is that? That's 3, 6, 9. That's 1,200 size of a football field, huh?
Yeah, that's about right.
That's incredible.
And it is infrared, so it will look through trees and stuff. All it's got to do is see the heat.
Yeah, anything that's got any body heat going through it or blood. Yeah, that's just wonderful. You know what? I can't wait to come out there again, and this next time, you know what area I'd love to go to.
Yes, I do.
Ladies and gentlemen, this guy is so unique. He has yelps. He has Bigfoot sounds that he uses. I mean, he gives offerings. And I got to tell you something. Out of all the yelps that I've heard people try to mimic and do out in the field, yours was pretty damn close. Did you try working on that for a while? How'd you perfect it?
Well, you know, I go out in the field quite a bit, but I've been listening to what I've been hearing, so I've been trying to develop something that would be close to what I have been hearing in the way of screams. And the only way I could duplicate it was with that 5-foot tube that I had.
That was amazing.
Less than a minute, Tom.
That was totally amazing. Listen, God bless. Have a great Turkey Day, and may God be with you, my brother.
Thank you much.
Be well. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say hello and a shout-out and happy holidays to my family to the north, Bruce Schilt and his family, Bruce the Snake Man, the Butellos up in Washington. I got their cards. I've got their well wishes. I haven't forgotten Bo in Alabama. The people that we've just met all around the country, my love goes out to each and every one of you guys. And again, Gigi Shatem. God bless you guys. Till next time, America.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
Turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams. Break in day, we'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size and everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody else manufactured it.
The hand was freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot. Bigfoot lives. Bigfoot lives. It's a movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts.